Good morning, good morning. Everybody doing well today? Look at those shoes. Young lady, come up here real quick. Let her through there. This is too important. Run, you gotta run. You're taking up time. Run up here. Look, can you see these shoes? Look at those. All right, go sit down. Give her a hand. Listen, Evan Kraft, those of you that weren't here on time, we have a guest speaker here today, and not a great guest speaker, a guest singer. I said speaker, didn't I? He can speak too, let me tell you. But Evan Kraft grew up here in L.A., I think down in Thousand Oaks. And he is today probably the most popular Spanish Christian singer in all of Latin America. But nobody knows who he is here in L.A. And his dad, Ken Kraft, is the man who runs Hope of the Valley Rescue Mission here real close to the church. And it's the largest homeless shelter for people here in the San Fernando Valley. Our theme this year is I Love L.A. And so part of that is us helping to promote a concert that happens here tonight at 6 o'clock. And all of the proceeds from that concert go to support the Hope of the Valley mission. Evan went to his dad and said, Dad, no one knows me in L.A. Why don't I come start singing here in L.A.? We'll just get this thing going, and we'll take all the proceeds to help support the homeless here in the San Fernando Valley. And I hope you understand that the problem with homelessness is skyrocketing here in Los Angeles. It is beyond anybody's one person's ability to handle. It's something we must all work on together. So we also have taco trucks out here in the courtyard, and I think you get like 3 tacos and a drink for like $5. And all of those proceeds as well go to Hope of the Valley Rescue Mission. And so you can also purchase tickets out there. I do want you to know it is in Spanish. I came last year, I didn't understand a single word of it. But I do understand tacos, let me tell you. So you can purchase tickets, you can post it on Facebook or social media, and come back out tonight at 6 o'clock. It will be a great crowd, it's a great spirit. But this is a homegrown young man from here in the valley who's made it big time in Latin America, and he's bringing his gifts and talents here to bless the homeless. I want you to put your hands together and welcome Evan Kraft as he comes to sing for us while I preach. Evan, come on out here, buddy. Buddy, say whatever you'd like to say too, man. All right.
Thank you so much, Pat. Last year I lived in Colombia. It's a beautiful country. You should all visit one day. They have amazing beaches, amazing flora, fauna, people. It's incredible. But it's cold here. What is going on? So we actually, you know, one of the big things that we did last year, which I just took a leap of faith and I said, I've seen churches sell a lot of merch, and it's a huge way to support their conference or whatever, and so we made Mi Casa LA shirts, and today we just got them in on Friday, these nice black sweaters. So if you are also kind of cold today, we have a lot of different stuff. You can rep it, even if you don't go to the concert tonight because you're like, I don't speak Spanish. You can learn, too. If I can do it, you can do it. So I want to share with you this song today. It's called Comfort Zone. And I wrote it when I was in Ecuador one day. And I woke up and I was just like, how did I get here? I went to Thousand Oaks High School. My parents don't speak Spanish. God, when did you do this? How did you do this? And it kind of goes through my process of I can't go back to what was comfortable. I have to go towards what you're calling me to. So I really hope this song blesses you. Sometimes I sit in all the places I have been. Machu Picchu, Buenos Aires, Mexico. And I few short years, my life has changed so drastically. Adventures for my soul penned in your love story. Oh. Your love shines through the smiles of your people, who find hope in the midst of hunger and war. How mistaken I have been, thinking I'm the blessing, when they've taught me more than I could ever know. So how can I fall back into my comfort zone, my own warm home, when I know that you're calling me to seek your kingdom first and let the whole world know that our only hope is to put our faith in Jesus now and know. No, I won't go back. No, I won't go back to my comfort zone. No, 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 oh. When did terror stop me from loving my neighbor? Because it scares or isn't convenient for me. All I know is that I worship the Savior, born from two Middle Eastern refugees. So how can I fall back into my comfort zone, my own warm home, when I know that you're calling me to seek your kingdom first and let the whole world know that our only hope is to put our faith in Jesus now and oh. No, I won't go back. No, I won't go back to my comfort zone. Who cares about degrees? If my brothers are in need, I know I'm called to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Oh, the accolades will fade along with all the fame. I know I can't buy salvation with silver or gold. What if I win the world? And while my back is turned, I find I've lost my heart and then my very soul. I long to hear one thing, stand before my King, he'll say, well done, my good and faithful servant. So tell me, how can I fall back into my comfort zone, my own warm home, when I know that you're calling me to seek your kingdom first and let the whole world know that our only hope is to put our faith in Jesus now and oh. No, I won't go back. No, I won't go back to my comfort zone. No, 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 oh, to my comfort zone. Thank you guys so much. Hope to see you out there at the merch table and tonight. God bless.
Great job. Oh, you got to come back tonight, amen? Especially all you Spanish-speaking folks, amen? But it is really a great night. And let's thank Evan Kraft one more time. Can we do that? I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 6. I wore this Lakers shirt because they got the number 4 pick in the draft. And they're going to mess that up, let me tell you. They are going to mess that up. But we're in a series. Last weekend, Dr. Sam preached for us. And I actually was up, as you know, last weekend. I went up and got to be with my mother on Mother's Day and preach for her and for my brother's church. And Dr. Sam, I called and asked if he would fill in here and kick off this series. And this weekend, Dr. Sam is up preaching for my brother at his church. So I'm just glad all that worked out. But we started a new series. If you look at the cover of your bulletin, The Power of One. And the idea is that anyone here has the power You know, it's like a domino effect. If you just do what God has called you to do, you have no idea the long-term ramifications or the influence that God is able to do through anyone who's here today. I want to show you the eight titles. This is the series that we're in. Last week, Dr. Sam preached on the judge and her calling. Today, the boy and his lunchbox. Next week, the captain and his ship, the daughter and her basket, the soldier and the spoils, the posse and the border patrol. That weekend is Father's Day, and we have a guest speaker that weekend, Daryl Strawberry, who played Major League Baseball for the New York Mets. He won a World Series, and he went on and played with the New York Yankees, and I think they won three World Series. And he got off the wrong path on drugs and almost destroyed his life, but God reached him and turned his life around. And today, Daryl Strawberry travels the world talking about the life transformation power of an almighty God. And he's going to be here on Father's Day. And so I really want to encourage all of you to bring your dad on that day, especially if your husband or your father's not a Christian. It would be a great weekend to get him here, because I think there'll be an opportunity for your dad to get saved if he's not saved. Can someone say amen? So we're going to look at the posse and the border patrol, the scribe and his scroll, and the fisherman and his dream. And again, we're just looking at stories in the Bible of just individuals, just one person who had huge impact that God used in a mighty, mighty way. And today, I want to look at the little boy who had the little lunch that had the five fish and the two loaves. Now, this story of the little boy with the lunch, how many of you familiar with this story? You're somewhat familiar with it. How many of you really do not know this story? Raise your hand if you do not know this story. This is a miracle that takes place, and this miracle is recorded in all four of the Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, that doesn't happen very often. There are a lot of miracles that Jesus performed, but this is one of the few instances where Jesus performed a miracle, and all four writers said, I want to write about this story. It is a special story. Now, the context, Jesus and the disciples are having a rough day. I want to ask, how many of you have ever had a rough day? Okay, so I want you to put yourself in their shoes, all right? Earlier in this chapter, John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus Christ, in this chapter, has had his head cut off by King Herod. The disciples have been, they're exhausted because they've been dealing with people all day long, all week long, really performing miracles and casting out demons and healing the sick and preaching and teaching and ministering. It's very tiring. So they had just conducted a burial service for their murdered colleague, John the Baptist. And in verse 30, the apostles gather around Jesus and report to him everything that's going on. You can only imagine the distress upon Jesus and the disciples learning of John the Baptist having his head cut off, maybe thinking that they're next. And in verse 31, it says that there were so many people coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat themselves. And so Jesus, you know, he plans to take them on a little retreat to get a little R&R. He says, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some what? Get some rest. And so, verse 32, they went away by themselves by what mode of transportation? They got in a boat and they went to a solitary place called Bethsaida. Now, I have a map to show you. If you ever go with us to Israel, we actually take a boat ride across, this is called the Sea of Galilee. This is in northern Israel. And in the northwest corner, you can see Capernaum. Does everybody see Capernaum on that map? Everybody say Capernaum. Now, Capernaum is where Jesus spent most of his ministry. So when you're reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you're reading about all the miracles and all the teachings, and the parables, most of that took place in the northwest corner up there in Capernaum. And we believe that they're somewhere in this area. And they get the news that John the Baptist had his head cut off. They perform the burial service. They're dealing with all the masses of all the people. And Jesus says, hey, let's go on a little retreat. And they get on a little boat. And you can see it travels along the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee. And Bethsaida is, as the crow flies, it's probably only about 4 or 5 miles away. But when they get in that little boat, they did not have engines back in those days. They didn't have motors back in those days. They either had to row or they had a little sail on a little boat. It probably took them, because we believe that the winds were coming out of the northwest about, or the northeast, probably about 14, 15 miles an hour in springtime. It probably took them a couple hours to go from Capernaum to Bethsaida. And Bethsaida was this little fishing village. There wasn't much going on there at all. But all of a sudden, there's a little situation. Everybody say situation. A little situation arises. Look at verse 33. Many who saw them leaving by boat, some people recognized when Jesus got into the boat. Now, they're excited. They're all there, you know, to have their loved ones healed and to see the miracles. But there were people who saw them leaving by boat. They recognized them. They ran ahead on foot from all the towns. And that people actually got there ahead of them. You can only imagine. They get in this boat to get away from the people. And they didn't know that they had been recognized like the paparazzi. And as they're traveling, the people look and see, start pointing, and they start running along the shore, and you get all the commotions. They're following Jesus, so by the time he gets there, as verse 33 says, they're already there. Now imagine in the mind of the disciples, they had finally broken away on a boat ride to the far side of the lake to get away, a little R&R from the press of the crowd. Imagine their surprise when they land to see a crowd over 5,000 people. Down in verse 44 that says that there were 5,000 men. That's how they counted people. But they had some wives and children. There could have been 10, 15,000 people by the time they land. So much for a little time off. But notice verse 34, when Jesus landed and saw the large crowd, he had what? He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And the Bible says that Jesus began to teach them. Even though they were tired, and even though they themselves had had nothing to eat, Jesus began to teach them. The story goes that late in the day, it had been a full day, in a very remote place, people were tired and hungry. Over in John's account, Jesus turns to one of the 12, a man named Philip, and said to Philip, he said, Philip, how are we going to feed all these people? And Philip says, we? And Philip, you know, he was good with numbers. He starts to do the math. There's 5,000 people here, 5,000 men, 5,000 families. If I go down to the local fish and chip store, I can buy some fish and chips for $5 a plate. Five times 5,000 is $25,000. We only make $2,000 a month, $2,000, $4,000, $6,000, $8,000, $10,000. He's doing the math. And in John 6, verse 7, Philip turns to Jesus and says, Jesus, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of us to have a single bite. And so Jesus then turns to all the disciples and asks them this question in Mark 6, verse 38. How many loaves do you fellas have? He asked. And they said, well, we have nothing. And then Jesus said, go and see. Go see what you can find out in the crowd. And John 6, the next verse says, Jesus turns to a disciple named Andrew. This is over in John. Andrew was the one who found this boy with 5 small barley loaves. And I have some bread up here, and I've got 5 of these in here, and they probably were not this big. But 5 little barley loaves and 2 small fish, and they were sardines. And I just brought the can, is that okay? So this little boy had five of these little loaves of bread and a couple of sardines. They were not in a can. Imagine how bad that lunch must have smelled. And he says, I've got a boy here with five small barley loaves and two small fish, but how far will that go among us? In other words, what good is that going to do us feeding 5,000-10,000 people? Mark chapter 6, verse 39, then Jesus directed. Everybody say directed. I'm going to come back to that word. He directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and what? 50s. And there are people today who teach leadership seminars who go back to this story and use this story to talk about leadership principles. But he says, go have the people sit down in groups of hundreds and 50s. Verse 41, taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven, he gave thanks, and he broke the loaves. Then he gave them to who? His disciples to set before the people. He also divided those two little measly stinking sardines among them all. And verse 42 says, they all ate and were what? I want you to take your hand, rub your tummy and go, Do it one more time. They all ate. It wasn't they just each had one bite. Remember Philip said, well, if we had 8 months' wages, we couldn't buy enough food to give each person just a single bite. The Bible says they ate until they were satisfied. And then verse 43, the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of leftovers of broken pieces of bread and fish, and the number of men who had eaten was about 5,000. The feeding of 5,000, there are several lessons in this story. The first is this. Write this down if you're taking notes, and I hope you are. Jesus wants us to do more than just point out problems. He doesn't want us sitting around and just pointing out problems. He actually wants us to be involved in the process of solving problems. I want to go back and read a couple of verses that I did not read earlier. Verse 35, by this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. And you see, they start just pointing out the problems. They said, this is a remote place, they said. And Jesus, do you know what time it is? It's already late. Do you see what time it is? They're pointing out the problems. Send these people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages to buy something to eat. There's no food around here. We're hungry. Notice what Jesus said. And I give those guys a little bit of credit, because at least when they had problems, they know who to go to. And I think whoever you are and you have problems, you always need to take your problems to Jesus. That's a good thing. But notice what Jesus said when they came to him and said all the problems. Jesus said, you give them something to eat. We know over in John's account that he said that just to test them. It says in John's account that Jesus had already made up in his mind what he was going to do. Jesus already knew that he was going to feed all these people, but he said to the disciples, you give them something to eat. You see, I believe God already has everything under control. But what he wants is he wants us to be involved in helping make a difference in this world. We have become professional critics. We are so good at pointing out things that are wrong. Some of you think that's a spiritual gift. You're so good at it. It's too hot. It's too cold. It's too windy. It's too crowded. The parking lot is so full. Well, if you got here on time, you'd have plenty of places to park. Just saying. Someone is sitting in my seat. Jesus never wants us just to complain. He didn't put you on this earth so you could point out problems. He wants you to be a part of solving problems. Jesus had the disciples think through the problem. He had the disciples go and search for food. He had the disciples go and find the little boy with the five loaves and the two fish. He had the disciples put people into groups of 50 and 100. He had the disciples pass out the meal. He had the disciples collect the leftovers. God works through people who are willing to serve and make a difference. It's okay to clap. Don't just point out the fact that there's a lot of lost people that need to be reached. Why don't you figure out a way to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people who need to hear the gospel? Don't just point out the fact that there's a lot of homeless people here on the streets living in LA. Why don't you get involved in certain ministries like Hope of the Valley or like working down at the Dream Center? Or why don't you go out there and buy yourself some tacos? Amen. Amen. Don't just criticize that there's too many abortions in the United States of America. Why don't you volunteer at the Crisis Pregnancy Center or be willing to foster or even adopt a child? That's the way to make a difference. Don't just complain the waywardness of youth in our society today. Become a youth sponsor. Ask Dusty or Mike Williams how you can serve in the youth ministry here at our church. Don't complain that there's too many shallow Christians here in Los Angeles. Why don't you host a life group at your house so that you can help develop Christians and help them to mature? Don't complain that it's so difficult to get in and out of the parking lot. Why don't you join our guest services team as a parking attendant to help people get home safely and efficiently. Roll up your sleeves, spend some time in prayer, and ask God how He can use you to be a part of the solution to the problems in our world today. Number two, Jesus cares for people. Oh, this is so important. Jesus cares for people who are in need, regardless of how they got in their situation. It's so important because so many of us, our hearts have become callous when we see someone less fortunate. We do. We have a long list of excuses why we choose not to help people. They deserve their situation. They should have studied in school like me. They shouldn't have dropped out of school. They should have listened to their parents. They are probably just scamming me. They're probably professional panhandlers. I heard Charles Barkley say this about Michael Jordan. I don't know if it's true, but I'm Charles Barkley. You know, he talks a lot. Amen. But he said that he was talking one day, and he said, Michael Jordan never, anyone standing on a street corner with a sign saying they need help, he never gives them any food. And Michael Jordan's got more money than all of us put together. He says, but he'll never give a guy money standing on a panhandler asking for money, because he said, Michael always says that if you can do that, you can ask, do you want fries with your hamburger? And what he means by that is you could get a job, you just don't want to work. You could be working at a fast food restaurant and people order a hamburger, you can ask the question, do you want fries with your burger? He's saying, if you can do this, you can ask, do you want fries with your, so now I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what Charles Barkley said. But the point, that is true for many of us, that we don't want to help some people because we think, well, they could be working and they're just panhandling. That we say this, well, if I give them money, they're just going to use it for drugs or for alcohol. That's one of our excuses. And all I'm saying is that Jesus could have come up with all kinds of excuses not to help these people that were there in Bethsaida. He could have blamed them for not thinking ahead. He could have blamed them for not taking personal responsibility. He could have blamed the disciples for not having saved enough funds to take care of the less fortunate. Jesus could have said, I'm not going to do this miracle because if I do this miracle, you're just going to show up again tomorrow and you're going to want me to feed you again tomorrow. He could have demanded, Jesus could have said, you're supposed to pay $49 to come hear me speak. And with that, I include a box lunch with that fee. But instead, Jesus, the Bible says, I show this to you again, when he saw the large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And all I want to say is we should do the same. Amen? Number three, Jesus used a young child to bless the masses. He's not just a boy. He's a young boy. And the Greek word in this text is used nowhere else in the entire Bible. So the audience is clear about this boy's stature. He's not simply a child. He's a little child, probably about 7 or 8 years of age. The smallest, weakest, most powerless among them all. He is the lowest on the totem pole. Yet he is the one there that's offering something that can be used. Jesus takes this boy's lunchbox and he feeds the entire crowd. And some people assume that the miracle is that Jesus fed 5,000 people with one lunchbox. But the real miracle is that Jesus chose to work through a young child to bless the entire audience. Don't ever underestimate who God can use. Amen? And really, that's the point, the entire point of this series, The Power of One. Doesn't matter who you are. God can use you, whether you're a man, a woman, or a young child. If you have gray hair, no hair, or one hair that's just wrapped around your head 100 times. If you're in a nursing home, or you go to elementary school, if you're rich or poor, if you're a citizen or a non-citizen, if you lived a good life or you have more baggage in your life than a Samsonite store, if you're a new Christian or a seasoned Christian, God can use you, whoever you are. I heard about an orchestra. They were rehearsing one day, and about halfway through, the trumpets were blaring and the drums were beating and the violins were stringing. And the piccolo player muttered to himself, "What good am I? I might as well not be playing. No one can hear me anyway with the trumpets and the drums and the violins." He's over there, this little flute thing, like piccolo thing. And so he decides, he takes the instrument and he holds it to his mouth, but he makes no sound because he thinks it doesn't make any difference. And within seconds, the conductor cried, "Stop, stop! Where's the piccolo?" It was missed by the most important person in the room, the conductor. And I say to you in similar fashion, God needs you. Don't sit there and say, "Well, my gift doesn't matter. I just this little piccolo player. No one hears me. It's a big church. No one needs to. My gift's here at that church." Oh, how wrong. It matters to the most important person. The Lord God of the universe to create and to use you for his purposes here on this earth. Number four, little is more when placed in Jesus' hands. And ladies and gentlemen, this is the main point of this miracle, isn't it? 10,000 people there, they're hungry, they're tired, it's late. Philip asked Jesus to send the people home, and Jesus asked the disciples, "Go see what you can find." And so the disciples go out among the crowd. I can imagine earlier that morning, there was a little boy who ran out of his house that day. And the mother said, "Son, come back here for a minute. Where are you going?" The little boy said, "Well, I'm going to see Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, the miracle worker. He's here. He's in our neighborhood." And she said, "Well, hold on. Let me fix you a lunch." "Oh, Mama, I don't need a lunch." "Oh, let me fix you a lunch before you go." And she prepares them a little lunch with these two little sardines and a few pieces of bread. Probably gives it to him, gives him a kiss, and says, "Now don't you eat it too soon. It could be a long day." And so the little boy, he finds himself in the middle of that crowd, and he's enamored by the miracles and the people that are being healed, and it is so exciting, and people are being forgiven. And he watches as Jesus turns and whispers something to the 12 disciples. And all of a sudden, Andrew, one of the 12, comes walking by saying, does anybody have anything to eat? Does anybody have any bread? Does anybody have any fruit? And some people said, well, I had some, but I've already eaten it. Someone said, well, I had some, but I gave it away. And someone else says, well, I don't have anything. And the small boy is listening and he's pondering. And all of a sudden, the boy stands up and he says, I have something. And Andrew goes over and says, son, I'm Andrew. How would you like to do Jesus a favor? What? He said, how would you like to do Jesus a favor? He said, Jesus sent me to find himself something to eat. And the little boy said to Andrew, well, is he that disorganized? Jesus forgot to get his own lunch? I have a little lunch, but my mom packed it for me, but I'm hungry myself. Besides that, Jesus doesn't even know who I am. And Andrew says, yes, but son, it's Jesus. Jesus is requesting it. And the boy said, oh, okay, I suppose. I only have one condition. And Andrew said, what's that? He said, can I go with you? Andrew said, looked at him and said, sure, son, why not? Let's go. And so Andrew and this little boy, they make their way through the crowd with the 5 loaves and the 2 little fish. And Andrew comes walking up to Jesus and says, Jesus, I found this boy. He's got these 5 loaves and these 2 fish. And Jesus took those loaves and the Bible says that he looked up to heaven and he gave thanks. Everybody said, gave thanks. That's why you should always be thankful when you eat, because there's a lot of people in the world that have nothing to eat. And Jesus took the loaves and the Bible says that he broke them. And then he gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he also somehow divided up those 2 little sardines amongst them all. And verse 42 again says, they all ate. I want you to do this one more time. Rub your tummy. They all ate until they were what? Satisfied. And then the Bible says that there were 12 baskets. I'll take this for Michael. Give Michael a hand. I just want you to see how many baskets were left over, full of bread and the pieces that people ate until they had eaten everything. And these were the leftovers. Everybody say leftovers. Give Michael a hand. Give Michael a hand. Thanks, Mike. How many baskets left over? How many's over there? There's 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. How many disciples were there? So every disciple got to take a basket home with him. Those guys that said, we have nothing. The guys that said, Jesus, how are we going to feed them? What a vivid illustration. You see, that's the lesson, that whatever you have, no matter how little it may be, no matter how insignificant it is, give it to the Lord and the Lord will multiply it. It's never, ever about the size of your gift. It's about the size of your faith. The Lord always desires for us to exercise our faith. It's one thing to give out of your surplus, which is what most of us do. Most times we give, it's just the leftovers that we have. It doesn't even require faith to give. But when you give in faith and God sees you operate in your faith, he will take that which you give and he will indeed multiply the blessings in your life. Mother Teresa wanted to build an orphanage for abandoned children in India. And at the time, all she had was 3 shillings to her name. That's less than 1 American dollar. And someone jeeringly said, well, what can you do with 3 shillings? You can do nothing with 3 shillings. And you're right, 3 shillings, you can do nothing. But 3 shillings with God's blessing, there's nothing you can't accomplish. Mother Teresa went on not to just build one orphanage. Mother Teresa built over 30 orphanages. Less is more when placed in whose hands? In Jesus' hands. The Lord will bless our sacrifice when given in faith. You see, God, some of you are confused. God did not need that little boy's lunch. Why, he could have snapped his fingers and right across the street would have been an 8-lane In-N-Out burger. He could have snapped his fingers again, and on this side, there would have been a soup plantation. He didn't need the boy's lunch to perform the miracle, but he wanted someone to exercise their faith. You say, okay, preacher, I get the point, but I literally have nothing to give. Well, you have time. You say, but I don't have much time. I have just very little bit of time. That's the point. Give that time to God. He will bless you. You have a mind. Well, my mind's not what it used to be. Well, join the crowd. Give him your mind. Give him your heart. Well, my heart is divided. My heart is unfocused. It doesn't matter. Just give it to God. Your life. Well, I've messed my life up. You can't even imagine how messed up my life is. Oh, bring that life and give it to God today and see what God does through your life and in your life. I'm just a boy. Bring him your loaves. Well, I'm a retired person. Bring him those two little fish. Well, I'm not worth much. Perfect. Whatever you have, come and bring it to God. And God will bless you. And all God's people said. And as we close, don't you love those words as we close? The last point, write this down prophetically, and many people miss this in this story. They miss this point altogether. Prophetically, all of this points that only Jesus Christ can satisfy. Only Jesus Christ can do what? Only Jesus Christ can satisfy. I want you to take your hand one more time. When you eat this bread, you should smell this. You all need to thank the pastor that he kept this sealed today. Amen. But you eat this bread or you go get those tacos afterwards. Oh, some good stuff. I thank God for salsa in my prayer life. I do. But eating all of this, it satisfies, but only for a moment. But all of this is prophetic that Jesus satisfies, and you've got to move your hand from your belly to your heart. Just kind of tap your heart there. Some of you are unsatisfied right here. Some of you are broken right here. Some of you have no joy of any kind. Some of you are desperate. Some of you are discouraged. Some of you are depressed. Some of you are just so far away from God. And you're trying to eat stuff like this, which satisfies your stomach, but that does not satisfy the longing of your heart. There's only one thing that can satisfy the longing of your heart, and that's Jesus Christ. Over in the Gospel of John, where this story is told, in John chapter 6, it's the feeding of the 5,000. In that very same chapter, Jesus gives this discourse on the truth that he is the bread of life. And I tell you, some of you today, before you go to bed, you need to get out and just read John chapter 6. Go over this miracle again, the feeding of the 5,000, the 12 baskets left over. And get into this discourse where over and over and over and over again, Jesus tells the people, listen, I am the bread of life. The Bible says in John 6, verse 35, Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never be thirsty. And in verse 40, he says, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. And I will raise him up on that last day. And over in verse 51, he says again, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. And if anyone eats of this bread, he will what? He will live forever. And all that restlessness and that turmoil and that discouragement in your heart and that brokenness, that lack of being satisfied, all of that, you will all of a sudden wake up one day and realize that you have the assurance of everlasting life, and there will be a peace in your heart that you've never experienced before. And the truth is, a lot of people come to Jesus just because they want to see him do the miracles. They want to have their belly full. But you should come to Jesus to have your heart soothed and your sins washed and the Spirit of God placed within you so that you might live forever in the presence of God. Let's stand and bow our heads for just a word of prayer. Let's stand. Father God, thank you for this day and for this message and for this miracle, God. And today I believe there are people all over this room who need to come to Jesus. And they need to come to Jesus today. And to stop chasing the things of this world. To put their faith and trust in you, O God. To be baptized into his name. And to live a life here, knowing that you have placed your life in the hands of Jesus. God, I pray your blessing upon our invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.